Grace be to you in peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for today is the gospel lesson you heard just a few moments ago. I won't reread it now. I'll certainly refer back to it in the sermon. I'll begin today by saying in Christ Jesus, my dear Christian friends. So as Pastor Burgess mentioned at the beginning of the worship service, we've been following this series called Mind the Gap. It's the equivalent of saying, watch your step, as Jesus calls attention to different dangers that would be posed to our faith as we go along in our Christian life. Today's lesson, then, centers around a question that a gentleman asked Jesus as Jesus was making his way through some little towns and villages on his final trek toward Jerusalem. We're not told exactly who the man was. We're not even told why he necessarily asked the question. We just know that as Jesus made his way toward Jerusalem, when the man asked the question, Jesus did not want to ignore it. It appears that this man was simply asking Jesus a question to validate or solidify in his thinking a spiritual truth that he had come to know. He simply asked Jesus, so are only a few going to be saved, Lord? Do I have that right in my thinking? Are only a few going to be saved? I don't know if the man was there in the previous chapter to hear Jesus talk about his believers being described as a little flock that he had, or if he had thought about occasions where Jesus had always been talking about repenting of your sins, always calling on people to repent, repent, repent. Or when Jesus told a little parable about a fig tree that was being unproductive and all the consequences that came with that. Perhaps the man put all of these things together in his mind and he thought, huh, if this is what's required to be in heaven someday, I think precious few are going to make it. I just don't see more than a few people getting in. So he asked the question. You know, Jesus, for his part, did not try to argue against what the guy was saying. Because, in fact, Scripture, in many different places, as Pastor Burgess alluded to when he read the lessons, Scripture says, look, on Judgment Day, there are going to be far more unbelievers lost in hell forever than there will be believers gathered to Jesus in heaven. That's just the way it's going to be. Jesus, instead of just validating what the guy said and sending him on his way, instead, he forced the man and the crowd too, and the crowd here today, to answer a related but far more important question. A question that goes like this. Am I one of the few who's going to be saved? Am I in the group? Am I one of the few that's really going to make it? And to help answer the question, to help us answer the question, Jesus basically says, look, mind the gap. You got to watch your step here because this is trickier stuff than you think. You know, it's to enter heaven, it's like entering through a doorway, a very narrow doorway. And it's filled with dangers and threats and gaps, you might say. And if you're not aware of these things, if you're not looking out for them, you might very well not make it. You know, the first warning that Jesus talked about came in the form of an admonition. He said this, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Those words, make every effort, in the original Greek text, that's one word. It's the verb. It has this idea of contending for a prize in a public event. So picture a runner who's trying to run a race, and they have to summon up all of their strength, all of their willpower, all of their courage, and they're going to fight and struggle and contend for the prize that comes at the end. They're going to just give it everything they've got to win the prize. And you should know that verb is a present tense. So Jesus said, look, I want you to strive to enter through the narrow door right now and keep on doing it. You just keep on doing it all over and over and over and over again. Nobody has to tell us, do they, that oftentimes being a Christian means you have to contend for the faith. You have to fight and struggle in your faith. I mean, oftentimes trying to enter through that narrow door seems like a very daunting task because, quite frankly, Christianity asks us to do things that are hard. It asks us to do things that are certainly not easy. For example, God says, look, I want you to live a life of self-denial. I want you to live a life of repentance all the time, repentance all the time. I want you to live a life of resistance. Resistance against your own sinful nature, against the sinful world that you live in, resistance against the devil's schemes itself. He asks us to do that and a whole lot more. It hardly seems fair sometimes, doesn't it? Because certainly you cannot earn heaven for yourself by striving and contending for your faith. But you can certainly lose your salvation that you have by faith if you fail to strive and contend and give it all you've got. For that matter, Jesus said, you know what? The world that we live in, it is never going to help you. It will never, ever help you enter through that narrow door to heaven. You know why? Because the world that we live in says there is no narrow door to heaven. It's wide open for you. It's just wide open. The world will always say, look, if you want to be in God's good graces, you want to be in heaven someday, do the best you can. Just be a better person. Be a good person. Your version of good. You just do the best that you can by your own methods, what you think is good, and that's fine. If you mess up, do something nice to make up for it. It's fine. At the very least, the world would say, at the very least, just don't be as bad as the Hitlers of the world, and you'll be okay. Did you know that even some what people would consider Christian organizations push that whole idea? This is from the Christian Universalist Association's website, right off their website. No human being will be condemned or allowed to suffer pain and separation from God forever. Straight off the website. Such a thing as a narrow door to heaven, just a wide open path that you get to choose, and everything is just fine. And Jesus says, hey, mind the gap. Watch your step. Don't fall for it. Because that approach will never, ever work. Do you know that the second warning that Jesus gave sounded like this? Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. Jesus gave a picture, didn't he? A picture of a day to come when the door wasn't even going to be narrow anymore. It would be shut, completely shut. And Jesus himself, the master of the house, was going to close that door himself. Because on that day, judgment day, every person's time of grace here on this earth comes to a close. Time itself comes to a close. There are no more opportunities once that day comes for anybody to enter heaven. There will be people on the outside looking in when that day comes. And Jesus said, look, there's going to be this crowd of people on that day on the outside saying, look, there must be some mistake. There's got to be some mistake here. I should absolutely be allowed in heaven with Jesus. No problems. And yet all they're going to hear is, I don't know you. I don't know who you are. Away from me. And amazingly enough, that's not going to cut it. For that crowd, they will not accept that kind of a response from God on Judgment Day. Jesus said, they're going to launch into this whole reminder to Jesus. Look, remember what we did for you. Remember what we did with you. You were with us. You were in our streets preaching and teaching. We hang out with you. We hung out with you. We did all these things. We are entitled to be with you in heaven because of what we did. That's a danger, isn't it? That's a real danger. Sometimes the greatest threats to our faith, the greatest obstacles to our faith, have nothing to do with the awful, terrible, sinful world that we have to live in, but it comes from the sinful pride that lurks in our very own hearts. Oftentimes, because of the things that we do for Jesus in his very own church. Could you imagine if Jesus would have told that parable today? If you had told it in modern language, modern terms for you and me, might it have sounded something like this? People are going to be outside looking in, they're going to be knocking, trying to get in, saying, Lord, Lord, remember, I was an elder in your church. For years, I was an elder in your church. I served very faithfully. Lord, remember that time I came to communion? Remember that? That was pretty good, right? That was awesome. I was there at communion. Lord, I served on committees in your church, a lot of committees. I organized events. I helped with events. Or, Lord, I was a pastor. I was a pastor in your church. I logged a lot of hours, Lord, for you in your church. Certainly that entitles me to something. That should get me something with you. I did it right. That should entitle me to something. Whether you put your trust in idols to get to heaven, or whether you're putting your trust in your own good deeds to get to heaven, you hear the same thing, don't you, on Judgment Day. You hear, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. Mind the gap, Jesus would say. Watch your step so that your own sinful pride that lurks in your heart doesn't get in the way to keep you from that narrow door to enter heaven. You know that the final warning that Jesus gave came in the form of a prediction. This is what he said. People will come, there will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. How ironic for those Jewish leaders who had opposed Jesus, right? They had always thought that their golden ticket into heaven was their bloodline. So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all those prophets were descendants of those people. So that's how we know for sure we are going to be in heaven someday. We are on the right membership list for the family line of all those people. That's how we're getting in. And Jesus said, how ironic. You're going to be standing there on Judgment Day. You're going to see all those people in heaven while you yourselves are still outside looking in. And Jesus would say, there's going to be a lot of that going on Judgment Day. And if you thought that just having your name on a membership list or just looking the part of a Christian, acting the part of a Christian, but being something different on the inside, it's not going to get you anywhere on Judgment Day, is it? It'll get you nowhere on Judgment Day. Jesus says, mind the gap. Watch your step. Don't fall for it to put your trust in all sorts of other things that will keep you away from that narrow doorway to heaven. Did you notice, though, in the lesson, there were two predictions, not just one. There were two predictions. Did you catch it? Here's the second prediction. Jesus said, people will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Jesus said that there will be people from all over the world that will be joining him in heaven someday. And he said there will be lots and lots and lots of people that enter through that narrow doorway to be with him in heaven. That means then that this narrow doorway to heaven is narrow, not because only a few people can fit through it, but because there is only one way, one narrow way to get into heaven. And that is through Jesus Christ himself. He said that pretty clearly in the book of John, didn't he? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Why, Jesus is the door, isn't he? He is the doorway to heaven. Makes sense because Jesus is the only one who could have ever carried all of our sins all the way to the cross to pay for them with his own blood in full. He's the only one who could size up all those commands from our Heavenly Father and then obey them exactly the way that he wanted them to and then credit that obedience to you and me. He's the only one who could have ever done something like that, and he did. He won that forgiveness fully, freely, gives it to you, gives it to me. You know, I thought about this sermon today, and I thought about the lesson we're considering. I thought, how do I give equal time to Jesus as the gospel message for today? Because the gospel message is, Jesus is the way to heaven. He is the one who paid for our sins. He's the only way to heaven. He's the best way to heaven. I thought, how do you say that 86 different ways to tell people Jesus is it? He's the way to heaven, and he did that for you. I don't know how to do that 86 different ways, so I'm just going to tell you. Jesus is the only way to heaven, and he did that for each one of us so that we would have the forgiveness of our sins to join him in heaven. But if you really think about it, today's lesson, really as Jesus described it, comes down to two things, right? Jesus said, look, on Judgment Day, it's two groups of people. There's the first group who thinks, I can get into heaven some other way, any other way than through Jesus. That's what all the warnings that we talked about amount to, right? I can get to heaven some other way, any other way than through Jesus. And the other group is, nope, there's only one way. Jesus is it. We're going to heaven because of him. Our narrow one-way trip to heaven. That's why, my Christian friends, Jesus Christ continues to be the narrow door, the way to heaven. He is the best way to heaven, the perfect way to heaven, the most trustworthy way to heaven. He is the way that works. That's why we continue to cling to him in faith. You want to answer the question from the beginning of the sermon? Am I one of the few? Am I one of the few who will be with Jesus in heaven? And the answer is yes. Yes, of course. Because Jesus Christ is our doorway to heaven. He loves us, forgives us. He's the one that brought us to faith into his family. And we are safe and secure by that one narrow doorway to heaven itself. May God help us to mind the gap, to watch our step, so that we always stay close to Jesus, our doorway to eternal life. May God grant that to us all. Amen.